And if the slides don't advance behind me, someone say that so, and we'll... Where's the doodad? Oh. That's kind of low. It'll work. All right, so for door knocking, we there are some things online about tips they give. And listen, they've been doing this for how many years now? Only two now, but the one last year, is it which slides? Okay, it's moving around up here. So did it just advance? Okay, well, there's a ghost here today, tonight. But here's the thing. They've gotten better at their efforts there quite a bit to where I think this year it's fairly impressive as to how they're organizing things and how they're prepared with the house-to-house, heart-to-heart. And we're taking part in this, so we have an advantage there. And they give you tips, all right? So we're going to talk through these, and I want you to make comment because if you have a question or comment, I've read through it a few times. I've actually done some door knocking. Maybe not as much as some of you, but I've been on a few campaigns in California, other places where we didn't just knock doors for several days. So I've got a little bit of it, of history with it, but I'm not a pro by any means. But I think it's going to be a huge leg up because we have the house-to-house heart tart. Plus, this is a great little explanation of what to do and even things you can say if you want to. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, but this gives a little kind of a script where you can just, it gives you things you can kind of bring up or say. Now, actually, you're going to have a couple things in your hand when you go. You're going to have two people go. Now, two people is someone who talks and someone who writes. And so if you want to group up with somebody who's a talker and someone who's a writer, that's fine. And one person's going to be the talker at the door. The other person is going to write stuff down because you're going to have a little exchange. And like the person that writes things down is going to write down any prayer requests a person has, or maybe there's a part where you ask them if there is one question you could ask God, what would it be? And you write that down, and you also write down the address and the name of the person, which gives you a further contact later, right? So you can go back to them and say, well, how'd that prayer request work out? Or you might want to study, because when you ask someone a question for God, that leads to a, what do you like for us to send you that by email, or maybe come back by and talk about it? And that is a doorway to a study. And the way they've been doing this the last, well, I guess just year or two, but I know Rob's been doing this for years and years. That's one of the reasons why he's the head of school there, is because he's been at this and using these methods for a decade or two and been pretty successful. So that's the way we're going to approach this. And because I don't want to waste my time. Do you? Anybody? But what I want to do is I want to be as effective as I can be. Now, I believe this wholeheartedly. If you're going to play a sport, you don't play to be bad on purpose, right? When I was in high school, like many of you were one time in high school, all of you were, I wanted to be the best at what I was doing just because I didn't want to feel like I was wasting my time. Sometimes I was the best, sometimes I wasn't. And so the thing is, I wanted to not waste my time, and so I want to excel. So I want to be able to go and knock on a door and be prepared so I can know what to do. You know, I threw a discus or a shot put in high school, but I practiced a whole lot before I got to the circle at the meet and did it, right? That's how that works. And so just having in mind these things, even if you don't practice them, like for a week or two before our upcoming door knocking, you'll be more prepared. Does that make sense? And so I know one thing my wife told me when we were talking about this months ago was she was like, well, I don't want to go to a door, just be standing there and have nothing to say and feel like a dummy. And I'm like, well, that's a good point. You know, you want to know what to do. Now, some people are naturally talkative and charismatic, and maybe the word vivacious comes to mind, where you can just come up and say, hey, what's going on? And you just have a conversation with people. I'm not that person. So this is for me and people like me that you want to see good in people's lives. You want to be helpful, but you don't always know the right thing to say at the right time. That's me. But you can learn some things. So we're going to go through and look at this, and you have this sheet in front of you. We're going to read the slides. Now, if you can't read the slides, that's fine because that's what the paper's for. Now, if you can read the slides, that's fine. But you probably can't because the text is pretty small from where you're sitting. Even in the front row, the text is kind of small, all right? But everyone have a sheet that is going to read one? All right. And so let's talk about some tips for door knocking for October the 2nd. And hopefully you can come. We're going to have Caleb come. And the girls are going to be here, and maybe we'll have a few other people helping, but it's going to be us. And whether you can knock two doors or 15 doors or 100 doors, please plan on taking part. If nothing else, if you can only knock two doors, be let off on the corner, knock this door and that door, then if that's all you can do, that's a huge boost to people who can do more that aren't doing more. And that sounds funny, but it's true. I know there are times when some of you, I'm thinking of Virgin specifically, when I see her come in and maybe she's not as spry and just jumping through the door, and maybe she's walking with a limp a little bit. And of course, Virgin's in awesome health. But I'm saying when I see her come to church, I'm not going to miss church. I'm saying nice things about you, Virgin. That encourages me, right? It should encourage our young people that if she can come to church, and some of you are entering that category of the same thing, where you're going to dedicate yourself to coming to church, even if you feel bad, even if you walk with a limp, you're going to come. That is encouraging in a tremendous way to other people, and I hope you see that. So this is one of those things, and not only that, but what this does is, if we knock even a few doors, what's it do? It lets people know the Church of Christ in Hyco is not dead, that we're alive, that we're active, that we want to help people, that we want to be part of our community. It's very, a very important deal. So if there's not one Bible study, and I think there will be, if there's not one person really reached in a very positive way, we will have let people know we're here and we care. I think it's going to do way more than that. But if we just get that, that's important. When I went to California 20 years ago, we had a few people pay for door knocking for us to fly to Modesto, California. I didn't want to go, but I was in Austin, and there was some people with money that said, hey, why don't you make these students, why don't you put them on a real campaign and put them out there for a week and just give them some experience? And so they paid for plane tickets for all of us to go out to California, so we went. Of course, we stayed with members of the church there to defer costs, but we knocked doors every day, all day, from mid-morning until sunset, we knocked doors. And listen, I know there were lots of people that were contacted through our work, and some doors I knocked had Bible studies. In fact, the person I was with went back the next day because they wanted to use us to knock doors while we were there and to get the most contacts they could. So, but I know the doors I knocked, there were a number of studies set up, and there were some baptisms. And so that's encouraging, right? And so you think, well, you know what? This made a difference. And who knows, those people, I wasn't part of the study, I was just part of the introduction to the study. Maybe they had kids, obeyed the gospel. Maybe they have grandkids now that obeyed the gospel because someone knocked their door, right? So it's that kind of thing. And so this says, before you go, we're going to meet at the building. I don't know what time exactly, but I'm sure the elders are working on it. And silence tells me they're still working on it. And so it says, before you go, pray. We often lack wisdom, but thankfully God gives generously to all without reproach, James 1:5. Pray for wisdom and for the success of the seed you will be planting. Paul said, continued steadfastly in prayer that God may open a door for the word, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. So prayer is an important part. Dress to make a good impression. Dress modestly. Shorts, tight clothing, or revealing tops do not represent Christ and his church very well. 1 Timothy 2:9 talks about modesty. T-shirts with a church's name on them can help those opening doors to know immediately that a person is safe. Not saying you can't wear shorts and go to heaven. Not saying you can't wear t-shirts to go to heaven that say things on them that aren't about the church. But we're talking about making a good first impression, right? And so if you have a t-shirt or like on the kids will have stuff from camp, right? Some adults will too that say something about the church. Wear that. Otherwise, just wear a nice, respectful thing that's not going to cause people to say, well, who are those folks, you know? So again, these aren't rules for going to heaven, but these are rules about making good impression at the door, because these are people who either know you and know you're Christians, who are going to set a good example that way, or don't know you, don't know who you are, and wonder why they're at my door on Saturday morning at whatever time. So dressing appropriately and modestly, putting your best foot forward is a good idea. Does that make sense? And go in teams of two or three. A man and a woman on a team is less intimidating than two men. It's not cheating to have cute children divided among groups of door knockers. Boys, I guess you're the cute children. This is going to be divided up among the door knockers. Let's see. Make sure that the female or the child can be seen by the person entering the door. This to help you with be better received. If a man and a woman are working together, then the man is to lead a prayer each time. Because one of the things he says is that you see later in it is if someone gives you, one of the things you're going to ask someone is there a prayer need you have? They might tell you, well, I've been in the hospital recently, or, you know, I have a son in the armed service overseas right now. Whatever it is, if they give you a prayer request, do it at the door, right? So you're showing them, listen, I can take it back. We're going to pray for it as a church, but I want to pray for you right now. And so mentions a man and a woman and let the man do the praying because of, well, 1 Timothy. No, where is that? 2:8. And so the idea is men praying everywhere. And the idea is it's never wrong for men to lead prayer. But in some situations, it may not be appropriate for a woman to lead a public prayer where their men are present. Again, that's not Jim's rule. We're just trying to follow the apostolic example. That's all it is. And it says, it goes through talking about if a woman's at the door and asks for the prayer, of course, a woman can lead the prayer if there's nothing but woman at the door. Again, does that make sense? Again, we're not trying to offend anybody. We're not trying to give a sermon on who can lead prayer. We're just trying to say these are simple tips you can do to make sure you don't get yourself in a situation where you're confused or don't think it was well. All right? Okay, so when you get there, approach the home positively. Wave and smile, Diana. Wave and smile. If people see you wave, they're more likely to answer the door. It sounds true to me. Do what? Well, people have these things called windows, or maybe they're in the front yard, I guess. And if someone sees you walk up their steps or their walkway, if they see, they're going to look who it is, right? I do. You know, if you have a window in your front room that faces the street or wherever, and you have any windows across your porch or whatever, you're going to see some people coming. If you see someone at the door or through your window, smile, wave. Friendly like, right? Dennis, you can be so friendly. I know you. Give that big smile and give that little wave up like you're in a parade and you're the woman who won the pretty parade and you're just in the little. I like pretty parade better, but yeah. So it's just being friendly. I know this kind of seems silly, but it gives you a couple things. The stuff we get to in a minute is going to be a bit more meaty, but. An important part is ring a doorbell if it's there, but listen closely. If there's no doorbell you hear, then knock clearly. Don't overdo it. Repeated knocks or rings are annoying, and they maybe can't get there very quickly. I've had my door beat on, so have you, and it makes you irritated, even though it shouldn't sometimes. You're like, I'm coming, you know, and so you don't want to start off that way. After you knock, very important, take two or three steps back from the door. give them space to see you from the window or slightly open the door. Now, if you're right in the door and they open the door, you're kind of in someone's personal space or you can't be very easily. It's very important. They teach salesmen this to go door to door, that when you knock on the door, especially if you send someone coming, step up a good 5 or 6 feet. Not just for corona stuff we have going on today, but the idea of letting someone have their space so that when they open the door, they're less threatened by you. It's more welcoming, right? And so that's a very important thing that I've actually seen that. I've seen that in order a few times, seen that used, and see how effective it can be. Okay. Relax and enjoy the experience of meeting some great people. Keep the big picture in mind. The church can prepare a community to expect and look forward to short visits from the local church. Yeah, treat this like you're going to have trying to have a positive experience on your part and their part. So if they see someone come from the church again, they won't be like, I've got to avoid them at any cost. That's that mean guy that wouldn't wave to him or smile to me. Now he's tired and talking about something else. Don't be that way. Trying to give a positive experience so that you can. Because the idea is, listen, if we knock doors down like one street, I don't know, we can't cover a lot of territory. Maybe we're going to cover one street. Let's say we get it, maybe a couple Bible studies or at least some responses. We think, well, you know what? That worked out pretty good. Maybe we had baptism, maybe not, but we got people out there and it was good. And so we want to do it again, right? And so we want to have a positive experience as far as our members are doing it. Like I said, if I go to a door and am horrified the entire time and scared to death and sweat bullets, I'm not going to want to do it more, right? If Dennis is forced to smile and wave at every door, of course, just smile anyway, or smile anyway. But the idea is the more you do it, the better time you have and the more good you see, well, you want to do it more. Especially if we have some people visit the church because of what happens. Won't that make you want to do it more? Do it next year? Maybe take a time 6 months between now and then and do it again? If you have actual people respond to that? Okay, now no heads are nodding, but I'm going to assume everyone's saying yes. All right, I was on vacation for a week, so I'm kind of wound up. So, relax and enjoy the experience. And those who may not hear the gospel today may want to hear it later because maybe their life changes in some way that's important. Also, when they open the door, place what you're giving out into their hands. When someone deliberately hands something to us, we by nature take it. However, novice door knockers tend to feel shy and keep material for themselves or ask permission to give it to them. This often results in leaving without giving the prospect the information. If it is not in their home, they will likely not respond to it. Even if they intended to, as they meant for, I'm just not reading well now. If you hold the literature when you talk to them, they may lose concentration on it and fail to hear what you say. So you're going to have stuff in your hands. What are you going to have in your hands? We're going to talk about that in a second. But you're going to have some door hangers, if they don't enter the door. Talk about that. You're going to have a tract that were made here a couple years ago. We got a big box of the what to expect when you visit the church, and it's kind of detail. It's kind of personal, homemade for us in Heiko, right? So you're going to be able to do that. You're going to have that in your hand. You're going to have what else in your hand? You're going to have house to house, heart to heart. A copy of that, which we have extras here with our information's on those, so we want to give out ones we have that are extras, right? We have extras every month, I see in the back, so I don't know where they're put exactly. I'm sure Andrea can help with that. But we have some extras we're going to take, and so in your hand you're going to have, one person's going to have a clipboard, right, pen, be able to write stuff down. The one who talks is going to have in their hand or both the tract and the house-to-house, heart-to-heart, and you can just hand it to them when they open the door. And that way, it kind of gives you a point where you can keep talking that way, but it's not like you're then not nervous about, okay, when do I start talking? When do I give it to them? Just most people, if you hand them something, will take it. If it's like an envelope or something, they'll take it. So you can do that. Anybody think that's weird or bad or wrong? I think that makes sense and it kind of fits the pattern that we've used before, or I've used before, and things like that. There's a sample script below, and we're going to read through it very quickly. Each group must have only one leader who does the talking, although you can take turns. The others is there to support. Man, I did read this a few times. The support person should write down prayer requests, names, and addresses. Okay. And literature, I forgot where it was. I turned the slide. This is going great. So, one person talks. Y'all remember the silent partner deal with Bible studies? This is like that. One person does the talking. Doesn't say the other person can't ever talk, but it means let the other person talk, and then you just do the writing down, right? And you can switch if you want to, but that way it's not. There's that confusion. There's one person doing the talking, and again, it's short, it's concise, it's not ongoing long conversation at the door. And if they want to talk and invite you in, that's fine. If they say, "Listen, I would like a Bible study," then say, "You know what? We'll come right back or whatever, and we'll come back with a study. We'll figure that out too." But don't try and stand forever at the door and get into a lot of conversation, because they might not be able to stand at the door for a long time. You don't want to make it a bad experience for them. Just be short, be concise. What do you need? What do your prayer needs? Let's have a prayer. And kind of come back sometime and send you an email or come back and study with you about this question you have about God. Yeah, it'd be great. Okay, when can we do that? Or can I send you an email, get your phone number and call you and set a time to come back? And those things are helpful. Yeah. Be kind, clear, and concise. If you do not quickly get to the point, they may make a point of showing you they do not have the time for this interruption. Leave them wanting more, not wishing you had already gone. Good point. One of the biggest mistakes made at the door is having unrealistic expectations and pushing too hard, right? We want to have them ask questions. One of the important things about this is having open dialogue. And I know I've read this. I've never been a door-to-door salesman or a salesman of any kind. I don't know, Mike, you've done a lot of this. Well, some of this kind of thing, right? I mean, maybe not door-to-door, but I know you're a salesman. That if you are really pushy with somebody and do all the talking, then sometimes that may a few people may respond to that, but it may push people away. But if you kind of even if you ask questions that are open questions, a lot of people will tell you about themselves, and that is far more likely to lead to a conversation, which can lead to a study if you get conversation going. And so that's an important part of this. Don't just say, "Oh, I'm going to wear it to church, and you know, you need a Bible study, don't you? What about this? What about the current political stuff? You want to say the Bible? What about Jesus?" All those things may come up in conversation, but to be really pushy about it can be very negative. Sure. Yeah. So when that's a good point, Virginia. Thank you for that. I don't think I put that anything I have to in a slide. So thank you. We're going to have a house to house heart to heart with us, right? And so we're going to hand it to them, and we might also slip the tract in there. Well, I would go ahead and hand it to them and say, "Hey, have you been getting these?" That way you're putting something in their hand, and they can say yes, and it's got a tract about the church in it. So that's, you know, we got plenty of those, so we're not throwing them away money-wise. And that way, but asking them, "Have you been getting these? What do you think about them?" That's perfect, right? And so that's the purpose of doing it for the last how long now? And if you don't introduce yourself at first and they seem very angry at your visit, tell him from the Baptist church. That'd be fine. That's allowed. It's okay. I'm kidding, of course, about that. But yeah, those things are great to say. And listen, y'all are bringing up things I've forgotten, and I'm up here teaching the class, and so it's very important. This just gives you stuff to remember so you're not up there with nothing to say, right? That's why you have this in your hand, Virginia. That's why you have the thing. You're right. You could say, hey, we've been mailing the house to house hard to hard. It looks like this. Have you been getting them? And never hand them anything. You could do that. But if we take the tracks with us about what to expect when you visit the Church of Christ with our address and stuff on it, and there's some things in there that are specific about our congregation that that may be good just to hand because it's going to have that with it, right? But yeah, y'all making very good points. After you established you are there to offer something, a prayer. Now, it says free resources. Okay. There is a note section on the card you're going to have and write on. And if you see they have a severe need, like they got a broke leg in their yard's grass is a foot high, you may say, do you have a need? Well, can you not take care of your yard service? You know, we have some young men that can maybe help with that. You're not just offering to do everything for everybody. They have a little form. Brett read it. I don't know if the elders read it, but it's a long checklist of things churches sometimes offer, like taking doctor's appointments, taking a grocery store, paying their bills for them if they're in severe need. And we do all those things sort of, but we're not a very big congregation, and to offer everyone who knocked doors is being long listed to check on and get back to us. I think my wife made a point that we would never get those things done. But if you have this note you're writing and it says further notes, and you might write down, because it's not for them, it's for you. You might write down, house full of kids, they look hungry, they look really poor, maybe offering some help with food would be helpful, right? Or make a note that this place is really run down, or like I said, the grass is 2 feet tall. Maybe we can contact them later and see if we could come to the yard for them just to be friendly, be nice. I don't know if you're on the street. That's kind of. I don't know if we'll be out there. But listen, the idea of church benevolence, sir. Yeah. But the idea of doing benevolent things for people can be very helpful. But you can't say, "Hey, let's bribe you to come to church with us." That's not right. But saying, hey, if you have we're your neighbors, we love you, and if we can help you through some difficult time, and we're able to, that's one thing, right? That's okay. And honestly, I know the boys have a time or two did yard work for people that needed help, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And that may lead a door to a Bible study. That's not just one government charge for free, though, right? And so there is an idea, and I think, like, I know the church here has some money in a benevolent fund that there is a person over. Who's over the fund? Or isn't somebody? Somebody is. And I know people come by, they talk to one of our people. You all think I should know this, and I probably should. But I know sometimes the church helps if they think, well, you know, this looks like a legit case of someone in need, and we can help them in some small way, maybe get to the next town or get back home, whatever. So we're not against that, but also you don't want to feel like you're taken advantage of. Does that make sense? So there are ways we can be benevolent and help people. If we knock a door and see there is a need here for something that we can somehow help with, and just so we're being neighborly, that's great. It's kind of like one thing that House to House Heart to Heart does is they give you a lift if you ask for it, if people move into your area. We talked about the idea if we have someone move in, that we can just get a small basket together of a welcome to Heichel basket, maybe just like $5-$10 worth of stuff, but it just shows you're friendly. Hey, you're moving in. You might not have whatever we put in what will you put in a welcome new house? Bleach, I guess. Yes, something not super expensive. Something that you can say, hey, welcome, right? And so you're not giving them gold bars, but you're trying to say, welcome to HICO. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Okay, so we're not going to have a list, a checklist, all these things, but you'll make note of something if you see a need. Or some when you say, listen, I'm so glad you came to my door. I'm having this problem, because you're asking them for a prayer request, right? They say, well, I have this prayer request about something physical. Like, you know, I tell you what, my light in the back room burnt out, and I can't do it because I'm disabled or whatever, and I've been praying for God to send me someone to help change my light bulb. What would you do then? You change the light? Is that a big deal? But if they mention that as something that's a trouble for them, that's where you step in and go, I would love to help you with that. And hopefully they're not going to kill you. All right. There's a sample script here, and no one's going to kill you. I just cut our volunteers the hat by half. And so, if no one's home, always leave the materials that you prepared for them. Place them where they will not blow away or get wet, but don't leave them in the mailbox. That's a federal offense. Probably no one in HICO would call you on it, but if you just can't put stuff in the mailbox, it's not mail. I know some people, well, I did that to my aunt or what, that's fine, but if they catch you just putting stuff in the mailbox, that's trouble, right? And so don't do that, but it's a door. We have door hangers. What's that mean? Hanging on the door, right? This is going to be easy. When you leave, do not focus on bad reactions. Focus on good reactions. Learn from both. We don't expect to find an open and honest heart on every door, but there are people who will come to Jesus when invited. Our task is to find those who are searching for a relationship with Jesus. Just as you're seeking them, they are seeking you too. I've told you before that the reason I became a preacher was because of my grandfather. My grandfather was a good man. When I obeyed the gospel, I tried to teach him, but he was very old and really couldn't reason anymore like he used to be able to. He was a very wise man. But he was in his 90s, and he just wasn't quite as sharp as he was. He wasn't sharp like Regine back there. Anyway, but he died, and he did not obey the gospel. Now, that's up to God what happens there, but I know what the Bible says. So the reason I preach is that I know there are people that are honest, that if you show them the Bible, what the Bible says, they'll obey it. I believe that with all my heart. And Jesus taught that. He said that fields are white and they're ready to harvest, right? Send therefore workers. I want to be that worker. And so we can see there's need and do that. Listen, all you can do is good by telling people about Jesus. Doesn't matter how weird or bad or awful the person is, if you can tell them more about Jesus and his life and his sacrifice for them and his ethic and his doctrine, all can do is make their lives better. Is that true? So all we can do is help improve people's lives when we're doing this. So, follow up, send them a card to let them know you've been praying for their request, maybe even go by again to see them. But this will provide a healthy address list for sending cards, all right? We can have a couple big card bombs. I assume we're going to do that for people we knock doors of, I guess. We'll talk about that at some point. And give put their – it goes to the sample script, sorry. Again, I'll learn to talk sometime. Sample script is don't read from the script when you're at the door, because people can see that, and that's weird. But when someone enters the door, place information in the hand of the prospect as you greet them. It may go something like this. We'll hand them an information card. Good morning, my name is. And this is, we're members of the Church of Christ. You may ask them if they know where that is. Most people in HICO would. We're your neighbors. I'll tell you what, that's a buzzer. So read that on your own, please. And I'm going to skip this very painful part that you all were thinking, oh, no. So we're going to skip ahead to some slides about this is the form, all right? Half of, we're going to take the sheet of paper, we're going to cut it in half, and half you're going to give them and half you're going to keep for our information, all right? What is this? Very quickly, you have name, address. If they have a prayer request, you pray right then, but you write it down so you have it for future information. Any notes you might be taking about their situation, if they have a particular need or whatever it is, something may strike you about the visit that needs to be taken note of. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Great question to get people talking, right? We're talking, we're not talking at people, we're trying to talk with people. And people love to talk about themselves. So this reveals about themselves same thing they have a yearning for because they're trying to complete a need in people. What's the gospel do? It makes man complete. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The gospel makes man complete. Well, we're trying to complete people with a word. So what's the need? We all have one. And then we'll write for them. And I'm going to have this printed out so you don't have to write. I'm going to fix this up to where when you cut the paper in half and you have it, it's going to have information already on it so you don't have to do that. With all the information there and the service times and whatnot, we're going to have that already done for you. And so that is what's left at the door. Half your blue sheet, you're going to have that to give people. House to house issue, you're going to have that in your hand, you're going to hand it to them. Very rarely would they say, I don't want that. Attract, what to expect is also going to be in your hand with the house to house. You can have a door hanger for those who aren't at home. And you're going to have, door hanger. Well, now, what are you going to gather from this knock at the door, which seems like it's not going to do any good? Well, what you're going to gather is knowing you're trying to actively evangelize. I'm telling you, if you just knock one door and have a brief conversation with somebody about the church or who you are and you're with the church, you're going to be actively helping the church grow. May not think of it right then, but you are, and that's very helpful. It may help you sleep better that night anyway. You're going to get prayer requests because you're going to ask that question. You're going to get notes of any obvious needs they may have that allow you to further conversation with them, right? You may open the door and you see someone's a huge, huge Chicago Bears fan. Amen, right? Chicago Bears football, right? You think that's strange. It's Texas. Write that down. And that actually may be a way you can talk to somebody later. That seems silly because they're awesome. Everyone's a Bears fan, I know, but that may help you to reach someone later. If it's like obvious, my half brother Mike was a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. His entire house is decorated with Steelers stuff. So if he went to knock his door, you couldn't help but take note of his Steelers stuff, and that might provide you a conversation. I started with him, and you see next time. So you can take away that. You're going to walk away with a question to answer. If there is one question you could ask God, what would it be, right? And so you're going to have that with you. And you have a reason for further contact or study. Those things you have are a reason to contact them again. And again, we don't want to waste your time. And we don't want to, it's hard to just to people walk by on the street corner and say, do you want to study the Bible? You want to study the Bible? You want to see the Bible? But if you have all these cards for people who had questions about God and what they would ask God, and you can now have a response where you have looked at that, and you can say, well, what did Jesus say about that? Can we talk about what Jesus would say about your question? Do you know what Jesus said? Do you know what Paul said about you? Do you know what Peter said about your question? Can we talk about that? And so it gives you a much better doorway to talk about the Bible with somebody. It's about a conversation. Any closing thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking about their address, when we write down their address, when you have them write down their address, you probably need to make sure that we're getting their mailing and their visible, just in case it's different. Because a lot of times in town, people don't have post office
boxes. Well, and after you ask the question about why would you ask God, you say, well, can I come back by and talk about this, or could we email you? That gives you an email address or a phone number or both, right? Is there a way you can check and see if a mailing address is on a mailing route? Like that's good. So what you said is exactly right. So I'm saying that would take time, right? And is there a way that Andrea could check this, what I'm asking? Is there a way that she could do this for us? And we could get in all the addresses, and then she could check the postal. I'm kidding, Andrea. But I think you can do it, though, right? No, you can't check route addresses? No, I'm not. Okay. All right. I give. Well, I know you can do address queries online, but I guess that doesn't mean it's a mailing address. So. Hey, we know Joe. We'll give it to Joe, yeah. Boom. That's awesome. Okay. Any other comments? Yes, Dennis. I'm sorry. Well, if you've been to HikeOurChurchOrChrist@gmail.com, it'll get to me. Yeah, I'll have it filled in already, though. Well, there's Hiko Preacher. Yeah, that will also come to me. Well, I've tested it in the past. I may have to check it again, but I tested all those previously. You say you did, but I'll check that. I'll check it. I know. Check. Now I'm teasing you, but I'll check Kako Preacher because there may be something wrong with it. I'll check it. But all those that are in the bulletin are set to forward to my personal email address. And so I try and get all the correspondence that way, but if there's a problem, I need to know, so I'll check it. Thank you. Anything else? Let's take a break and we'll come back and have announcements and our devotional and our worship.